blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 10, the first stanza, in the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows in the first stanza of number 10.
This afternoon hour can be found in the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and thereof the third chapter, Romans 3. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism. which can be found on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
(Clears throat)
that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people, Israel, through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee, and that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto Him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of Thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old Testament and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, and when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Anchor? Father and Mother Arnold Dusen. Father and Mother Grisnick, Father and Mother Janssen, Father and Mother Outzorn, and Father and Mother van der Breinhorst. Dear parents, we have a very beautiful form It was the Lord himself, we may believe, who has given our fathers to write this form for baptism in such a beautiful way. It is a form which speaks about God's people. It is a form which speaks about God's own elect who are born as infants also into this world. And our fathers say here that they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam. How is that possible that it is without their knowledge? Then it is not they who have even sinned, but it is the sin of Adam which is imputed unto them, the imputation of original sin. But further they say, so are they again received into unto grace in Christ. So that is also then without their knowledge. So where does that all take place? That they are received again into grace in Christ. That all takes place in heaven. That is with God himself. Thus it is just for God to impute unto us the sin of our covenant head Adam, that is just. But it is also just for God in his good pleasure to impute unto his elect the righteousness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those elect have nothing to do in that. They have nothing to do in that. That is taking place in heaven. And still, that all needs to be worked out here upon the earth. It all needs to be worked out in their life. And who are now the elect? We don't know who they are. Are you? Maybe that is so. That you are one of the elect. And maybe also your children, this child that you bring for baptism today, is also written, his name written in that book of God, that he is one of the elect of God. We do not know that, but do you hope for this? Do you ask for this? So there are things we do not know, but there are some things we do know. What do we know? Well, we know that you are here, and that you are bringing your child here for baptism. And it is in this way that you have been brought, and it is in this way that you do bring your child, and he is coming in this way into that outward covenant. That is, he comes under the means. And we also know something else. We know that when God has his elect, that he will do just this unto them. Because he will, who has given us those means to use, he will bring his own people under those means, or he will bring those means unto his own people. And thus that first step that is taken with you, that first step that the Lord is taking with his elect, that is now also taking place with your child. Does that now give you some hope? That ought to give you some hope. That ought to, because that is what baptism is all about. That the Lord says, you bring them into that outward covenant, in that place where I am laboring and where I do promise that I will give my blessing. So baptism that is hope for you as father and for mother, that may be hope for your child when he comes to years of discretion, that you may instruct that child therein. But there is more that we know. We know also that the Lord will make his elect to be seekers. Are you a seeker? He will make them to ask and to seek and to knock. And that is something that is not done in heaven. No, that is something that is done here upon the earth. That is something that will be known in their life. It will be seen in your life. It will be seen in the life of your child. If the Lord is now working in such a way that the Lord will make his people seekers, we know something else, that the Lord is going to try it. If it is his work, if it is his elect, you know what we read in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus, he says that the Lord will bear long with them. He will bear with them a long time when they are asking and they are seeking and they are knocking. And why? Because the Lord needs to instruct them, and we are so ignorant and we need so much instruction that it needs to be tried so often for such a long time. And we know more. We know more. We know that the Lord will also uphold it. As the Lord is, as it were, trying them, and the Lord is also, with the other hand, we would say, the Lord is upholding them. So that they are crying night and day unto him, and they never give it up. That is his work. That is what the Lord is doing in the life of his own children, in his elect. Not in heaven, no. Those are the things that are taking place here upon the world. And we know something else. We know that the Lord is going to hear them. Though he bear long with them. Though they are crying day and night unto him. May you see that in your child. And when they become a little older, may you observe that. That they cry day and night unto him. And one day the Lord is going to answer them. Shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? We know those things. And you say, now what a life. What a life for my child. If he is then one of the elect, does my child need to live now through such a life? Yes. Yes, they do. We do too. And why? Well, because that blood that is symbolized by that water that is placed on the head of your child, sprinkled upon the head of your child in this hour, that blood needs to become precious to us and to them. And so the Lord has to take everything away, and that they may see the beauty, the necessity, and the suitability of that blood for themselves. Oh, the Lord give to you as parents, fathers, and mothers of these children a soul going to a great and never-ending eternity, of whom you may receive the command, the trust, as it were, of the Lord, to care for that child, to bring them up in the fear of his name for a few years, for a little time. And then they will leave that home again, a little time, remember it, because it goes very, very quickly, and then they are gone again. And then you will look back and you say, what did I do? And how did I do it? The Lord bless you and remember you with your families. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 49, stanza 3. And then after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. 49, stanza 3, both rich and poor, and both bond and free shall worship him with bended knee, and children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of his name. The third stanza of Psalter 49. I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Colton Hank, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Charlotte Elizabeth, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Aviana Rochelle, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Maria Christina, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Sophie Nadine, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. With thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, and that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, Thou who dost continue the bringing in of Thy church into Thy covenant to the day in which we live with our children, bless these parents with much grace in their hearts from on high, and that they may know day by day how to walk with them, to take them by the hand and to lead them in the midst of this crooked generation wherein we do live. Put away the devices of the prince of darkness And wilt thou give that thy power may be felt also for them? Remember the grandparents, great-grandparents, families, and all the loved ones this day, when they may also rejoice to see their kin, that they might see their seed brought into the church in an outward way. Oh, and that also grandparents and great-grandparents may receive a place upon their knees continually before thee, and that thou mayest bless their seed. O Lord, thou hast opened a fountain. It is a great fountain, and that is open for sin and for uncleanness. O, there is nothing that is not able to be forgiven by thee, that we have committed. And Lord, then it needs to be shown unto us, and that that fountain also may become precious unto us, that we might see how necessary it is for us in a personal way. Open then what that fountain of sin is within us, as thy servant did say it, the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. That is the constant burden of thy people. O Lord, they say, what have I this day? Oh, they can point back to what thou hast given, but they cannot hold on to it with their own hands. O Lord, remember them, and thou dost continue yet thy church, and thy word still goes forth. There are still those who are baptized in thy thrice holy and worthy name. Oh, give them the application. Give a seeking and a knocking and an asking, and that there also may be an opening and an answering and a finding, that thy name may be magnified, not only in the midst of all the other nations of this world, but may it be here in this our own church. Oh, Lord, could it please thee, that we might see yet a fruit upon all the labors of our hands in the midst of this our flock, and that thou wouldst give eternity to tell what thou hast done. Oh, forsake us not, Lord, who deserve to be forsaken by thee. And be with us in this hour. Thou knowest all that can distract us. Thou knowest all that can take away our thoughts and our minds. Oh, put it away for a moment, that thy word may become truly thy word for us a moment. May it be for the first time or by renewal in this day, that thy children may receive a little crumb. O Lord, it is a wonder for them, unto them, if they may eat just a little bit. Oh, if thou wouldst come back once, if thou wouldst yet show that thou hast just a thought of them. O Lord, show us that thou knowest where that we are, and that thou mayest feed thy people. Lord, that thou may instruct them upon their journey, and that thou wouldst prepare each and every one of us for that great meeting with thee. So many baptized foreheads, living for our own account, traveling through the Meshech of the wilderness of this world, and yet under the administration of word and sacrament, we can only beseech thee, Lord. Is it not thy own word? Is it not thy own institution? And what had we to do with it? Oh, that thou wouldst take reasons out of thyself, who has brought us all under thy truth. Oh, that it may never testify against us in that great day of days, but that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, forgiving and taking away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349. All the stanzas, my heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer, and what follows, 1 through 4 of Psalter 349. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Romans chapter 3, and thereof the first two verses, Romans 3 and verses 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So far, the words of our text. The chief advantage of the Jew. First, what this advantage is. And second, the particulars of this advantage. The chief advantage of the Jew. First, what this advantage is. And second, the particulars of this advantage. Last week, congregation, we heard that God is no respecter of persons. That is, he does not respect a Jew more than he respects a Gentile. He is a Jew, Paul says, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. And if that is so of circumcision, parents, that is also so of baptism, because baptism comes in the place of circumcision. It has the same meaning, but we have now for us a new sign. So maybe we should ask you why you came here today, after what we have spoken about last week. Because the Lord does not we heard have respect of persons, for one that is circumcised or one that is baptized. The Lord does not look at that person differently, as it were, in himself than anyone who is not baptized. So why is it that you have come then to baptize your child? Maybe you say the same thing, young people. You say, we are told then that, well, that there is no profit. That there is no profit to circumcision. That means there would be no profit to baptism. It is only going to increase our accountability when we have to stand before God. Why then should we be baptized? That is the question that Paul is asking in the text now, when Paul has explained that God has no respect of persons. And then Paul, he is, as it were, anticipating an objection, and he is putting forth the question before that it is asked by anyone else, that he may answer it for us. He says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? And then he answers it, and he says, no, that objection that you have in your mind is incorrect. He says, there is much, he says, much every way. Thus the Apostle Paul never said that there was no profit in being a Jew. He only said that there is no profit to be a Jew if we are only a Jew outwardly. If that is the extent to which it goes, then there is no profit, no worse than no profit. It is actually going to be to our disadvantage on that great day of days. But he says, if we are a Jew inwardly, or if we are baptized in our heart, or he says, then there is so very much advantage to this circumcision. He says, much every way. And then he does not say what all those ways are, but he only says one, and he calls that the chief one, that is the first one, the most significant one. He says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Thus, what are the oracles of God? They are the divine utterances of God, the words of God, we would say. The Greeks spoke about the oracles of their gods. They were the oracles of the idol gods. And then the Apostle Paul, he takes that over and he speaks about the oracles of the true God, the living God, the divine communications from heaven of God. Is that not a wonder to us? That the Lord speaks to us from heaven. Believe that, children? That God, you ever look up in the sky? I remember doing that when I was young. I looked up in the sky. And I thought, where is God? And who is God? Do you believe, boys and girls, that God speaks unto us? Because the Apostle Paul here speaks about the oracles of God. Is that not a wonder? That God speaks unto us, and then in a special way that God speaks unto us after the fall. We do not deserve that. We do not deserve one word from Him. Because we have disobeyed Him, maybe your father, boys and girls, does not speak to you for some time after you have disobeyed Him. And then He turns His friendly face away from you for a little while, and you feel that. And now we deserve that the Lord never would speak to us again. And yet Paul speaks about the oracles of God after the fall, that the Lord is speaking unto men. And by those oracles, Paul means, of course, the Old Testament scriptures. The law and the prophets by which the Lord gave His word and made Himself known unto the church in that Old Testament. And Paul calls this an advantage. That is something that is superior, that is more eminent or excellent, that has an advantage, that is very useful for a person, profitable. Then he speaks about the advantage or the profit that the Jews received over against the Gentiles. So something the Gentiles did not receive, he says the Jews have received an advantage. Something more than the Gentiles have received. Thus, that is in His sovereignty, that the Lord is choosing one to receive it. That is, who? Us. In His sovereignty, that we may receive it. And young people, the boys and girls that are next to you, maybe, in the next house over from you, they do not receive. Their father and mother do not bring them up into the church. They do not have them baptized. Thus, the sovereignty of God, and the apostle speaking here about an advantage, he calls it, the favor of the Jews, because there was no difference, he said, between the Jews and the Gentiles. There is no respect of persons with God. They are no better. Those Jews are no better, he says. No, they have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do we feel that sometimes with all the advantages in which the Lord is giving unto us? The chief advantage of the Jew, what this advantage is. And then he speaks not only about the oracles, we would say the word of God, but he speaks about being a Jew. He speaks about circumcision. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? So it is not specifically then, we would say, only today about the word of God, no. But he's speaking about something that is wider than the word of God, circumcision. Circumcision, what is that? That is not, he speaks here just about the sacrament, no. But he is speaking about what is included in that sacrament. What does that sacrament now signify? So So when we are circumcised, when we are baptized, what is it that a man is actually brought into? That's what is circumcision, the entrance into. Well, that is not into the internal covenant, right? We heard last time, Paul made a distinction here between what is outward in the flesh, that is the circumcision, that is the baptism, and he makes a distinction between that and what is inward. So what is circumcision then an entrance into? Well, that is not the inward. No. We just heard, and then we have asked the Lord in that prayer if he would convert these children. We do not make an assumption that the Lord, that these very children are God's people. No. God sanctifies all his elect. They must be baptized. They are our children. That is the children of the elect, the elect children. They are sanctified. And we have asked the Lord if he would now convert these children, if he would convert our children. Thus, when he speaks about here what circumcision is an entrance into, then it is an entrance into the outward manifestation of that true church of God. What does it mean? It means that they now receive access to the means which God has himself provided in order to bring his true elect. His true elect, he is going to bring them in. How is he going to do that? Well, he has instituted means for that. He has given his word for that. He has given the preaching of his word for that. He has given the offices for that. He has given the sacraments for that. And now through that baptism, the Lord is bringing into the administration of those means. He brings a person under those means, gives them a special access to the means that he himself has provided for this work with all the helps, the good helps that there are, in order that people may be converted and brought into his kingdom, that people may be instructed and upon the way when they are brought through that straight gate and on that narrow way, the means whereby the Lord may instruct, that he may teach, that he may feed, that he may uphold his own people. There is congregation, only one true church. One true church in heaven and in earth, that is one church. Or read the Belgian Confession. And in that Belgian Confession, then we read our duty of everyone, wherever that church is to be found in the world, doesn't matter, here in Africa or wherever that church exposes itself outwardly, manifests itself, that we are bound to join ourselves and our children unto that church because to despise that is to break our Father's say, the unity of the church. And that is the means that the Lord is using to gather his church. Is that not an advantage? If the Lord says that this is an advantage, if the Lord says those are the means that are the most suitable that I may bring in my elect, that I may bring in my true church into that true temple, into that temple that is made without hands, oh, then will we say that other means are better? Will we say that we do not need to join ourselves? As the Lord commands all men unto those means? No, if the Lord considers them the best means, then they are certainly the best means. Oh, what are then the particulars? What is that particular advantage then? of these ordinances of the Lord in our second thought. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way. Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. What does it mean that the oracles of God were committed unto the Jews? Well, that is just as if the Lord had placed confidence in the Jews. They were committed to them. The word of God was committed to them for safekeeping, that they would preserve his oracles, what he has spoken to them. And then we see how the Lord in his providence over those many years has put it in the heart of the Jews to so faithfully keep and that what the Lord had committed unto them. Think only of the Masoretes, and how that they have copied letter for letter and counted and so on. We can see how that those oracles of God, God has not only committed them to the Jews, but the Lord has given it in the heart of those Jews, that they would faithfully care for those oracles of God, which of course was a great responsibility for that Jewish people. But sometimes when the Lord gives us a great responsibility, then he also gives to us what Paul calls an advantage. And what was now the advantage? Well, with this responsibility, the Jews came into a certain relation. Do you know what Nehemiah said? He said, and I was the king's cupbearer. I was the king's cupbearer. Oh, what a responsibility. He had to make sure that there were no, that food was taken care of. He had to make sure that there were no enemies that would poison the king. And so he had to be very near to the king. Is that not now the advantage that Nehemiah received when he received that great responsibility? Because with that responsibility, then he was brought right next to, in a very near relation, unto the king himself. Oh, what an advantage that was to him. Because now when Nehemiah came into trouble, then you know where Nehemiah was. Oh, he was so very near unto that king. And in his nearness, then he was permitted by that king to speak. And that king did draw out of him the troubles that were living in his heart, when because he was right near to him. We say, what an advantage that was. For Nehemiah, what an advantage that was for that Jewish people. And now so it is also, Paul says, with these Jews. They are entrusted with the oracles of God. That is for them a great responsibility. But he also says, O Jews, it is a great advantage for you. Why is it such an advantage? Because when the Lord gives you this responsibility, he also brings you very, very near unto himself. They are entrusted with his ordinances, to care for his ordinances. Not just the word itself, but everything that word is speaking about, what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be in that covenant, and all those ordinances, all they are responsible for taking care of. But at the same time, the Lord gave them to the Jews for their own use, that they might profit from them much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Oh, that is not, I thought, so different from us as a minister or maybe an elder. That's not so different, is it? Why? Because, well, there is something that is entrusted unto us, something that the Lord gives to us to take care of, that we have to do. The congregation, when we have to do this, well, then as a minister, then you are brought so near. And that is a wonder, because a minister has the same heart as everyone else. And now when you are busy every day with all the things the Lord says you have to be busy with, and all the work that you have to do in this world, what may I do? What may I do? Oh, there are many things I have to do, but what may I do? Oh, then I may be involved. Oh, then I may study that holy word of God. Oh, what a profit that is sometimes. What an advantage that is by times, especially when it's very difficult. When it's very difficult to know what to bring. And then you have to go on your knees again. And then the Lord gives you to experience that He is near to you. And that the Lord gives you something to bring unto His people much every way. Or maybe that is also as sometimes with yourself. Because those oracles, congregation, they are also committed unto you. That is the testimony here today in baptism. And then there is a great responsibility. We speak about those things. We hear about those things. A great responsibility because we have a baptized forehead. Special responsibility for fathers and for mothers to preserve those oracles of God, the ordinances of God, in reverence for their own children. But did you ever experience the advantage? Did you ever experience the profit from them? Maybe sometimes. Then you say, oh, I would like to be a minister. Because then I could always, like David said, he always wanted to be in that house of the Lord. Let us sing Psalter 159, stanzas 2 and 4. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. And within thy house will I abide, my refuge sure, whate'er betide, thy sheltering wings shall be. 2 and 4 of 159. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. It is true, congregation, that if we perish with the oracles of God, it will be for us an awful, awful eternity, because that is a weight that we are never going to be able to come out from under. But is that now a cause for discouragement? Is that now a cause for discouragement? No, it is not, because Paul says actually just the opposite. He says there is cause here for great encouragement for you. What hope have all those who have not the oracles of God? He would say that is only that they would have not so severe a place in condemnation. But congregation, it is condemnation still. It is condemnation still. It is no deliverance from condemnation. And now what does Paul say about the Jew? What does Paul say about those who have access unto those oracles of God? He says they have a great advantage. They have a great advantage for profit. O congregation, we are baptized, and to us are committed the oracles of God. What do we do with those oracles of God? Does that word of God have no place in our family life? Does that word of God have no place in our personal life? Is that word of God more just an outward religion than anything that we have ever received advantage from, that we have received profit from? Oh, what an account that we will have to give, that we have the oracles of God. Do you ever consider what a relation that having those oracles of God now brings us into? Oh, how close that it brings us to the King, to the King. That is, we are under His institutions. There is no place that is so near unto God in this whole world than in His house, than in His house, because that is His institution, and that is the place that He is promising that He will bless. Do you believe that? Did you ever experience that? That in that house of God, that you have been so very, very close unto Him? Did you ever receive any advantage from that in your own personal life? Where did Hannah go? Oh, when she had an adversary, and when she could not deliver herself from her adversary, oh, then she went to the ordinances of God. She went into the temple of God. Was that not a great advantage to her? Oh, did she not receive a great profit when she made use of those ordinances which the Lord had given unto her? Where did David desire to be when his heart was overwhelmed? And he was at the ends of the earth. Oh, did he not desire then that he may dwell always in that house of God? Oh, where was poor Asaph, guided by the counsel of God? Was that not in the house of God, where he may see the end of the wicked? Was that not in the house of God, where he may receive from him a blessing when his feet were almost gone, and when his steps had well nigh slipped? Oh, did that poor Asaph, who could not deliver himself from all his dejections, did he not receive so much advantage and so much profit from those ordinances of the Lord? And now how is it with us? Oh, how is it with us? Can we say even one time? Even one time maybe in our whole life that it was an advantage to me, or that there was profit for me. The oracles of God, the word of God, the ministers of God, the sacraments of God, the worship service of God. Oh, has that now ever been an advantage unto you? Oh, we think about the Sabbath day, the whole world all around us, young people. They are all desecrating that holy Sabbath day that is part of the oracles of God. That is an ordinance of God. Did you ever wake up in the morning of the Sabbath day? Oh, did you ever wake up with joy in your heart because you said, I will stand in thy gates, O Jerusalem, that you desire to come up unto that house of God? Or maybe you said, I do not feel like going to the house of God today. I wish I could do my other things that I like to do every day. But you could not do that because your father and your mother would not let you do that. And so you had to come. And because you had to do it, you were there. Maybe you did not even want to listen. And then you heard something. Then you heard something out of the oracles of God. Maybe something that came into your heart. Maybe something that warmed your heart. Maybe something that drew you. Oh, then you have received profit, have you not? You have received an advantage, have you not? To your own shame, but to the Lord's honor within your heart. Oh, those are advantages. And that the apostle here is speaking about. Did you ever receive an advantage just because of your knowledge? That this is now the house of God, that these are the oracles of God, that these are the ordinances of God. When you are maybe so discouraged because we said the Lord tries his own work, right? Asking, seeking, knocking. There is nothing. There is no answer. And then you become discouraged. You become despondent. And you know what the devil says? He says, don't go there anymore. Because you have been going there for so many years. And it has never been a profit unto you. And it never will be a profit unto you. And then you say no. No, because these are the oracles of God. Oh, just to know it. Just to know it. Was there ever an advantage to you that made you steadfast when you went on your knees? That you would say to the Lord, Lord, is this not thy way? Is it not thy institution? Or was that never an encouragement to you? An advantage? Profit for your own soul? Maybe you've looked at the office bearers who have all the frailties of that human nature.
said, how can they give me anything? And they make this mistake and they make that mistake. But then to say and then to know, this is not about a man. It's not about office bearers, no. But these are the oracles of God. And this is where God has promised to work. Oh, have you ever received advantage? Have you ever received profit? Even from such a thought, much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Lord, ever pour out his love in your heart? When you were sitting in that house of God, oh, did you ever feel something of a drawing? Did you ever receive such an advantage? We sing that sometimes. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. Did you ever sing that with the psalmist? Ever sing it with your heart? He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. Your heart ever go out with that? When we may sing something from those oracles of God? Oh, did the Lord ever correct you, maybe? Maybe once the Lord has corrected you because you are walking in the wrong way. You've come into the house of God. There you have heard. And you have gone out of that house of God. And you have been maybe so humbled because the Lord restrained you and kept you from walking in that way that in your conscience you knew you were not allowed to go. Oh, did the Lord ever stop you on your mad career? Did the Lord ever show to you your sin in that house of God? Did the Lord ever open to you what a fountain of iniquity? Did you ever weep? Did you ever come with weeping and with supplications before the Most High God? Did you ever receive advantage? Did you ever receive profit from that word of God? Or were the scriptures ever made to you the oracles of God? We believe it is the word of God. We all believe that. We believe that with our mind, but we do not all believe it with our heart. No, we do not believe it. We are unbelievers. But did the Lord ever give you to believe that that word is the oracle of God? When he has answered your cry therein, oh, did the Lord ever give that faith may be given to take hold of that scripture as the oracle of God? Because no man, when the Lord gives you to take hold of that as his word, as his testimony, as his oracle, then every man in the whole world can come against it. But no one is able to take it away from you. And if the devil succeeds for a little while, oh, the Lord will restore it unto you in his own time. Did the Lord ever give you a little opening, even under the sacraments? Under the sacraments. How do we come up today? Because what is now here before us? Water. Boys and girls, water, young people, fathers, mothers, all of us, water. Water for washing. Did the Lord ever bring you up on such a day? Filthy, wicked, corrupt. Did the Lord ever strip away from you all your own ability to fix it? To fix it? To change it? Or did you have to cry out with the apostle, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? You ever come in the house of God that way? Under the ordinances of the Lord in such a way? The Lord ever open your eyes? You may be sitting there in such a way, and then to see that water, and then a longing in your heart, "Oh Lord, wash me. Wash me. Not my feet only, Lord, but also my hands and also my head." No advantage to the Jew? Is there no profit to the Jew? Is there no profit to the circumcision? Much. Much every way. Today, that sacrament is different from many years ago. What was it many years ago? Then those children, the boys, they are brought and they were circumcised. Circumcised. It was bloody. You understand that? Bloody circumcision. Any of that here today? Congregation, there is not a drop of blood. Not a drop of blood here today. Why not? Because it was all shed. Because all that was shed for that people already. Remember what this was about? It was the elect of God. It was about the elect of God. And now the Lord says, in the changing of those signs and symbols, that not a drop anymore of blood is required to be shed. Or is there anyone here today for whom that is an advantage? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words, but it is thy word, and it is thy holy sacrament. Oh, give the application in our hearts. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Oh, grant it unto each and every one of us, washing us in this never-ending fountain. Forgive and take away our many, many sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us in the week and that we have begun. Spare each one from a sudden, from an unprepared death. Also our children and our young people, when there is no school in these months to come, give our teachers rest, and wilt thou spare each one and give a little time, a little desire to separate ourselves with the oracles of God. For Jesus' sake, amen. 228. All the stanzas. Lord God of hosts in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 228.
the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.